You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What do we really know about our horse's gut microbiome? This week, we're gearing up for the Olympic Games and trying to juggle all the things, like managing horses who live in our backyards. Thanks for tuning in.
From Heels Down Mag, a podcast where horse pros chat about what's happening in the horse world over drinks.
Welcome to Happy Hour.
I'm Justine Griffin.
I'm Jessica Payne.
And I'm L.A. Woznicka. Welcome to episode 125 of Heels Down Happy Hour.
This episode is brought to you by Purina. So what's going on, guys?
Hey, guys.
Hello.
No, I'm just kidding. There's Ellie.
So speaking of Ellie, happy belated birthday, Ellie.
Oh, thanks. I got to spend it at Cornell.
It's like you're home Flint. Away from home.
I know. At this point, have they turned a horse stall into a bedroom for you?
Yeah, it's pretty sad. They all know my horses and my name. That's kind of embarrassing.
But, okay, so maybe you'll save this for Rose and Thorn. Ellie called me on her drive while she was hauling the horse to Cornell on her birthday. And I was excited to find out what the surprise was for your birthday.
Oh, yeah. I can give that for my Rose and Thorn, but it wasn't what you thought.
Okay. I asked her straight up, I'm like, do you think Matt will propose? And she just laughed at me. All right, so I got a good drink this month for you guys. It feels like a good summery one because it is already hot as heck here. It's like brutal, and all I want are cool down drinks all the time. So pretty simple one. It's a mojito, but with a fun twist with watermelon.
Yum.
So if you want to make this at home, you're going to need some lime, a mint sprig, a couple of ounces of white rum, also some fresh watermelon juice, some simple syrup, ginger beer to top it off, and a watermelon wedge that can go with your mint sprig to garnish. So basically, you want to muddle half a lime in with your mint sprig in the bottom of a cocktail shaker. You're going to add 1.5 ounces of rum, the watermelon juice, which is about 3 ounces, and a fourth of an ounce of simple syrup and ice. Shake it all, then strain it into a highball glass if you've got one at home. If not, normal glass works just fine. And you could top it off with a little ginger beer and with your garnish of fruit. And it's delicious. It's like really nice. Like at the end of the day, you want to sit outside or like out with the dogs or something in the yard and have like a
that
nice
sounds
cool drink.
Really good.
It's really good.
Matt would really like this. With the mint and the watermelon, he'd be on it.
Yeah, you'd be surprised because I like a mojito, but like I'm not a huge mint person. So usually it's like I'll have one, you kind of sip on it, and then I'm done. But this one is dangerous because it's got the sweet with the mint. It's really tasty.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll probably get drunk on this weekend.
Belated birthday. You get to get drunk all month. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll share the recipe for this one in the show notes, guys.
So Justine, you keep complaining about how hot it is because it's not been bad for us yet, but I need to know all your hot weather tips. What do you have for us that are all going to get hot probably by even this weekend?
Oh my God. I'm not even sure I have good tips, but it's been pretty brutal here. You know, like obviously it's a weird weather year with El Nino where it's been really dry and really hot here in Florida. So like we broke records in May. Like we had the hottest month of May on record in Tampa Bay, like ever, with feels like degrees and, you know, in the triple digits, which is pretty scary because it's like it's just the
start. It's only May.
Yeah, exactly. And as someone who owns a horse that doesn't sweat, you know, it's something I got to be mindful of. But luckily, Mikey's doing great. You know, I've gotten to know his routine over the years, so I know what he needs. But it's been, you know, he's had some miserable days, that's for sure. But it feels like a good time to talk about hot weather tips. I notice as I get older, I have more reactions and symptoms to the heat than I ever did before. And like for the last couple of years, I've kind of been like, huh, what is this? This is stupid. And then like that I'm dying at the end of the day, you know, but now I've noticed like I really have to pay attention to my hydration and to my skin. Like I have Today, literally today, I have a heat rash because I was out of town over the weekend and was at the beach most of the day. So I had a little bit of a sunburn. And then since I've been home, I spent every day at the barn where I sweat in a sports bra on top of that sunburn. And I just like can't get rid of this heat rash. It's ugly. It's awful. It's uncomfortable. Yeah, it's terrible. Where I'm now, I'm like,
do you ride in long sleeves? And do you ride in? So I started, I will say, I joined this bandwagon. I've always worn in long sleeves, like sun shirts or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
But Doug and Grant Sager always tell us that, like, oh, the sleeves, like the UV sleeves that you like see like athletes wear and stuff, they're cooler.
I saw you share these.
So yeah. I had on one of the Dada shirts that's super lightweight, like. Mm-hmm. It feels like butter. It's so lightweight. And then I put those sleeves on and I'm telling you, I was a lot cooler than I was in those long sleeve sun shirts that I wear.
That, see, I love my sun shirts because I want to protect my skin. As my, I think I've told you guys many times on the podcast that my husband chases me around horse shows with sunscreen because he looks at the older trainer ladies and their skin and is freaked out for my future of like what his wife is going to look like. Not even kidding.
But I'm telling you, the sleeves are UV 50. Yeah. And so, and they go up, they stayed up because I was like a little concerned, like if
what's
they
the
were going to be like swollen up. I bought them on Amazon and I found one. They're all like unisex, but I was like, how am I going to fit in Doug's and Doug fit in mine? So they're super stretchy. So I found one that like also worked for teens.
Okay.
And I got one that's like a pack of like gray, dark, like light gray, dark gray, and black. And I'd say even the black is like still light. And so the only thing else I think I need to get into is finding a really good sunbrim. Like my hat is already like big enough to wear sunscreen.
Yeah.
But like I would love listeners like to put in some advice of what sunbrims they have, because I feel like that's the missing piece I have. Like everything else, like I wear big hats all the time. You will always find me in a huge hat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have sunscreen. I feel like Alex, I'm chasing my children around. Like they put sunscreen on every morning. And then middle of the day, I'm like chasing them around. I found this new mist sunscreen. So then it's not like putting on lotion when they're already gross because they've been playing in like the dirt and everything else. So I just spray this mist on their face and their legs and their arms and trying to protect them as much as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I mean, I'm with you. I feel like I've destroyed my visor that goes on my helmet. So if anybody has good tips, I'd love for one that doesn't fly off while you're carrying
around. That doesn't fly off. And I'm not sure I want one that like buckles. So I don't know. Maybe I'm looking for something that doesn't exist.
Mine's Velcro. I don't remember.
Mine's Velcro too, but it like loses its kind of stickability over time because mine's like dead. But going back to the sun shirts, the ones that are really like recently that are really soft and breathable are the FitEq ones. They have short sleeve and long sleeve and they're so comfortable and you can get soaked in the wash rack and they dry immediately.
Oh, really?
They're my new favorite right now. So if you haven't checked out FitEq, they're more athletic branding and not all of them have a collar, you know, so it's more casual, but I really like them.
I
get on to that. I need
and
some
for sunscreen.
Sleeves.
I'm a sun bum fan. I love sun.
So
bum.
It's this sun bum mist.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah.
So it's
I live
a long
in sun bum.
Tube and it's a mist. So I use lotion in the morning and then the sun bun mist I found and it's like 45. It's like perfect for middle of the
good
day reapplying. Yeah.
Yep. That's not like heavy and gunky and you're gonna feel like you're
no
yeah,
because if you're sweating
sweaty.
You're gross, like my kids will not let me touch them with lotion. So we've been, it's like a couple weeks in, but we've been loving that mist from Sunbum.
And then
that's
I'm
what
someone
going to ask because sorry.
No, go ahead. I was going to talk about pee. So you go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, before you talk about pee, I have like, I don't know if I've said this actually on the podcast before, but I have really bad eczema. So that like flares up like every summer for me, like especially like between my thighs, if I ride bareback a lot, or like my socks, like under my feet and stuff. And so like, for me, I've been really onto the, like short sleeves because I'm like, I need like air against this like itchy rash. So I'll have to try out those. But yeah, I was going to ask you about the sun bum because I my sunscreen that I'm using, which is just like, you know, the Dollar General brand, is really gunky, and it's not, I'm not about it.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing, going back to the pee, is I'm someone who urinates frequently through the day, just like on your average day. I don't feel like I drink enough water, but I'm just someone who has to use the restroom multiple times a day. But during the summer, I try to really be like, I'm never going to be a water bottle person. Like, I'm not going to fight people in Target for the cool water bottle. I can't bring the big heavy thing with me, but I'm trying to be mindful of hydrating before I get to the barn, so I am not dead within an hour of being there. Cause I'm like dead, and I'm doing the least amount of riding that I have in the last couple of years. Cause last summer I had Wyatt, and before then I was working for the Show Jump trainer and riding a ton, and I survived all riding much more in the heat. But this year it just seems to be affecting me more, and I'm trying to find ways of being mindful of that and like setting myself up for success and not heat exhaustion. So I'm trying to drink a lot before I go to the barn.
Have you tried drinking a bunch of sparkling water? Like
a LaCroix? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like a LaCroix, but I just actually do like, my favorite is actually the Saratoga sparkling water. And it's like a big, big jug. Mm-hmm. And so you can buy them in smaller ones, but I buy like the glass major big jug. And I feel I drink that more because it's not as bland.
Tastier. So yeah.
It's tastier. I'm actually drinking it right now. Like, it's so good that I drink it all the time. And I buy like four of them at a time. And I feel I do drink more if I have, like, I'll have a case of water that I'll touch maybe one bottle of it, like at a horse show. And then we'll have some sort of like cans in the cooler. And I'll drink like four of those cans. I even think about grabbing one of those bottles.
Yeah. I'm a bougie sparkling water person too. We have the thing that you make it at home and fill the bottles.
I don't even use that. I mean, we have that as well, but honestly,
the SodaStream. Yeah.
Yeah. The SodaStream. And I'll do it and I'll drink it. But for some reason I don't go to that. Like, I don't know. I like the fresh, and they're both in the fridge, but I grab it and I love the taste of like really good ones. And I seem to drink a ton more of those. Like, we just, it's what we grab.
I mean,
no, I'm with you.
So maybe if you try some of those, maybe if you get a big bottle of that, maybe you'll drink more.
I mean, I'm kind of embarrassed to share mine because it makes me sound like I'm a 12-year-old, but you know, whatever, it is what it is. I accept it. For me, I'm a big like hose drinker out in the barn. But I have really good well water. But the thing that I've been doing recently is that I saw they're zero sugar, wink, wink. But they're like made by Skittles, and they're just like the crystals you put in your water.
No.
So they taste like Skittles. That's what I've been doing lately, because for some reason I'm just like, the water, if it's not like freezing, I'm like, this tastes too much like the earth, and I'm just not feeling it. But I mean, I did tell Justine, I also, as like, especially with my MS, I pee all the frickin' time. And I told Justine, I literally peed my pants the other day.
Yeah.
My back porch.
I felt like that was your story to tell. So
it's okay. I accept my defeat. Yeah. I thought I could bring all the horses in before I would have to pee in the morning, but I couldn't make it.
That's amazing.
It's a lot of pee-pee talk at the top of the episode.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
getting it started early.
All right. Moving away from urine, what do you got for news, Jess?
So the U.S. Equestrian announced the U.S. Olympic eventing team for Paris, which I was really excited to see this list. It's a great list. You've got Will Coleman with Off the Record and his direct reserve, meaning that if something was to happen to Off the Record or he ends up not going, Coleman doesn't get replaced by the traveling reserve. Will get replaced by Diablo. His direct reserve is Diablo.
Cool.
And then Boyd Martin is listed with Fetterman B, Bruno. And his direct reserve is Commando 3, which I love that horse. I think it's amazing. I think it's a bit young, and that's why they put, you know, Bruno's done quite a bit more. But I'm excited to see both of those have direct reserve, because I think all four of those are top quality horses. And then we've got Caroline Pamunik is coming in with HSH Blake as our third rider. And I'm excited
cool to see. Yeah.
She's young and she's done really well. And she keeps, you know, she keeps producing results. She's been overseas a bunch producing results. She went to the Pan Ams and she won the Pan American Games for the US. So I'm excited for her to get a shot and really show what she's been working so hard for. So those
and that
are
horse is cool, man. Mm-hmm. The Blake horse is very cool.
The Blake horse is beautiful. Yeah. And so I think they're a really, really good group between the three of them and really quality horses. So I'm excited. So in the end of July, beginning of August, we all have to be cheering for Team USA.
Yeah, and if you want to hear more from Caroline, she joined us on one of our Kentucky episodes. Remember when she stopped by, drank some margs with us?
Yes, she's so cute.
I know. And I mean, she was, you know, obviously riding in the, I think the 5-star at that probably time that she stopped by.
Yeah.
But so obviously no newcomer, but was young and, you know, it's kind of cool.
She's young, but she's put in the hours and put in the time. So I'm excited for them to kind of shake it up and put somebody a little bit different on. So I'm really excited for her.
Absolutely.
And all of them. They it's all well-deserved.
For sure.
Ellie, what do you have for news?
I have an interesting way to like test the dust particles in your arena. So especially in indoors, right? Like this was something when I was picking my arena footing that I was really worried about because I remember growing up, like everyone despised the job of watering the arena, but it's really important, right? Because the airborne particles and the ammonia fumes, especially if you have like a lot of horses peeing in stalls are concerned, but they're also a concern in indoor arenas. I mean, you know, we all know that the horse's biggest organ, right, are those lungs, and their breaths, especially when they're working, are going to be a lot heavier than the ones they're taking in their stalls. Not to mention, it's also damaging, right, to us to be breathing in dust. If you get home after a ride and you blow your nose and the boogers come out black, that's a problem.
That's a problem.
Right. Yeah. So this is kind of like an interesting test that I had never thought about that I wanted to share. So they're pretty easy. So one of them is just wipe off like the top of your mounting block or chair or like a ledge on the wall of the arena. Or you can even like clean one of your like arena mirrors if you have those. And then you kind of monitor how long it takes for dust to accumulate on there again. Ideally, it would be a week or more before there's like a level or a layer of dust that you can see. And basically, they kind of say, if you can write your name in the dust after a single ride, that's a big no-no. And the footing is dusty enough to pose significant threat to your horse's lungs.
Wow.
Yeah. So dampening. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, this is we don't really have indoor arenas here, obviously, that are enclosed. But you do, Ellie. Is this something that like you've always known and are mindful of as someone who has to like maintain your indoor?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I splurged. I'm still paying off the loan for my arena footing. I have dust free footing. So it was actually mixed with wax. So I never have to water my arena and there's never any dust. Like I could drag it
and those
for
an
are hour
so nice.
And there is no dust. And that was really important to me, especially with Berkeley, who has his seasonal allergies, right? He has the hay gain and everything. Like he is very dust sensitive. And especially since I live in the Northeast, right? I'm in an indoor like 98% of the time. Probably 99% of the time. So
yeah,
not having that foreign debris in their lungs, you know, is really important. And I remember as a kid, you know, same thing in Connecticut, we had, I think it was like a shredded something. It was before GGT really became a big thing, but it, you know, we had to water it every single day. And then by the end of the day, like if the lessons by like 7 o'clock PM, they were starting to get dusty again. So like dampening the arena footing with water, like can cut down on dust for a short period of time, right? But the only long-term solution is replacing the footing.
Your footing,
yeah. And I will be honest, right? My footing alone cost, and this was back in 2019, it cost me just under 15 grand.
Okay.
And my arena is only 55 by 115. So it's not big. And I have like 2.5 inches of footing. And I could be wrong. That might be a little high. But I will say it is worth the investment, because not having to worry about that, and especially as someone who, you know, works full time outside of horses, I don't have the time to,
yeah,
like, worry barely about it. Barely have the time to ride my horses, let alone water that arena before I ride. So it's just really important to water those arenas, or, you know, just be mindful of the dust in your arenas for those horses' lungs.
There's more talk than ever about the importance of probiotics in equine health. Not all probiotics are created equal. New Purina's systemic supplement remains live and active after the pelleting process and throughout the digestive system, making it all the way to the hindgut. Systemic was designed to support normal recovery after exercise and occasional gastrointestinal stress. Whether you're using the probiotic or not, it's time to use a live and active supplement from a name that you trust. New Purina Systemic Probiotic.
So Jess, well, both of you guys know, we reviewed Glitter Marks Ponies, which makes these super fun glitter stencils that you can use as a quarter mark, essentially, for horse shows or just for fun. And I used one at the Thoroughbred Makeover last year for Wharf Feather. I had a really fun glittery gold feather that got us a lot of attention at the Kentucky Horse Park. Well, while our friends at Glitter Marks Ponies were at the Kentucky Horse Park in April for the Defender Horse Trials, they were showcasing all of their fun designs. They have like over 150 different types of stencils you can order, but they make custom ones. And what's cool is I got a custom one, but Jess, you got a custom one from Glitter Marks Ponies too, right?
You guys, it is the cutest thing. You'll have to go on my Instagram. I am actually about to post another video on it. It is the cutest thing. Our children had so much fun. We actually did it a couple weeks ago, but we ended up having so much fun. We took Echo, who's like an 18-hand kid jumper, and Spencer, who owns Echo, and his mom, Kim, both did it. We had so much fun. The kids drew on it. They stuck really well. The kids were on trunks. Poor Echo stood perfectly still, and you could design your like own within it. And so they did our emblem, like, which is, you know, a circle with a cross through it basically. And they did it. And all you had to do was stick the yellow piece of like sticky on it. And then you like took the glue, and then you took whichever glitter you wanted. And they had yellow and plain like silver and white and red and black. And so Spencer was such a trooper. He went and showed with it at Tryon. It was so cute. We had so much fun. And so we actually ran out. We used it so much that weekend. So I messaged Glitter Max to see if we could order more. And actually all of those customs are on their website. So our
they
clients
saved
actually
them.
Ordered,
yeah.
They saved them, which was so nice. So our clients could go on and they can actually pick the glitter they want. So, you
but
know,
it's Spencer, your logo, but it's the
my
painted
logo,
question
but
logo.
Spencer
yeah.
really wants no yellow. He doesn't really want yellow, and he definitely doesn't need white because he's gray horse. Right. Mm-hmm. So he could do more grays and silvers and black and red and every kind of variation. And so he could kind of customize it within our logo as well.
Yeah, so I reached out to them. Obviously, I bought the kit for the Thoroughbred Makeover, and in April when I was bringing Mikey back to his first horse show after our very long rehab, I wanted to do something special. So I reached out to them to see what they could come up with. Obviously, Mikey's show name is Magic Mike, and I was like, what could go well with Magic Mike? It wasn't quite as easy as a cool feather for War Feather.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, the girls at Glitter Marks were amazing. They sent me like within a day's time, like all these different Magic Mike themed ideas. I was blown away. All right. And one, I was just like, I laughed. I like snort giggled and showed my husband, because some of them were just like, I was not bold enough to go in down center line with like a male stripper frame and glitter on Mikey's butt.
Oh my goodness.
But I loved it. But so they came up with some really tasteful, fun ones, like Magic Mike letters in the same font from the movie. And I got a really cute, like, little striptease bow tie, which is the one I love the most. The little bow tie.
Oh, that is so cute.
I know. But they were just so amazing to work with. And honestly, anybody can get a custom marks kit, and they're pretty affordable. For $45, you get up to 4 designs, which I think is pretty generous, so that you could do a mix and match of, like, you know, whatever 4 designs. And that comes with 4 different glitter colors you pick out of, you know, their very large arsenal of colors. And then it comes with the adhesive you need, all the brushes, and their instructions are super easy. You open the box,
it's
there's a
super
nice card.
Easy.
Yeah, it's so cool. And I really recommend their social media, like follow them, Glitter Marks Ponies on Instagram, because some people who use their stencils are like amazing at blending different glitter colors together so that you get this like beautiful finished picture. But it's easy for me. It helped to see how people like
how everybody could do it.
Yeah. Pull the sticker off and like, so you don't mess it up the first time. But it is super fun.
I definitely watched
it
quite a bit to find out how to do it, because their social media was excellent.
They make it
and
so
I was
easy.
Like, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to get this correct. And they were amazing with it.
But it's just a fun way. Like if you're going to a clinic, or like I see whenever there's the intercollegiate shows, like the FSU eventing team in Tallahassee will have fun matching designs on all their horses.
Oh,
like they're, yeah, it's just a nice little pop of fun, and you can do all kinds of stuff. They've got great holiday, you know, themed stencils. But again, you could do, if they can come up with a stripper for Magic Mike, they can come up with anything.
They can figure out yours. Exactly.
So we'll have to share some pictures so you guys can see them. But our friends at Glitter Marks Ponies are also offering a 15% off coupon code for Heelsdown listeners. So if you want to create your own custom marks kit or pick a fun design out of their many already offered designs, you can go to the website, which is glittermarksponies.com, and use this code HEELSDOWN, all one word, HEELSDOWN. And Glitter Marks Ponies is GLITTERMARX, and then ponies, PONIES.com, to check it all out and pick out which stencil design works for you.
I mean, Batman doesn't show anymore, but now I want to get like the Batman
right?
logo.
Just you need to. You have to for something. Yeah. For Halloween, because then you can be Robin.
Yeah, for his trail rides.
There you go. It's fun. All right, everybody. So our guest this week is Dr. Anna Dunaway with Purina. Dr. Dunaway is no stranger to our show. We've had her on to talk about a number of horse health and nutrition topics over the years, but I'm really excited to talk with her more about the equine gut microbiome, probably something we've all heard about, but maybe don't know too much about, because Purina is debuting a brand new testing kit and product that is available to all horse owners who want to learn more about their own horse's individual gut microbiome and how they can help and better support their horse in stressful situations or just through daily nutrition. I went through this process and sent off a manure sample through their testing kit with a friend's horse who boards with me. Katie's 4-year-old Irish sport horse mare, Finley, has had some pretty serious colic issues in the last year, and we've been trying to get to the bottom of what's causing her gastric upset, and she just felt like a wonderful candidate to learn more about what's going on inside her gut and how all of those, as Dr. Anna will call them, quote-unquote bugs inside her gut are playing a role in how she handles stress and how she digests her food and other things. And right now she's on a brand new probiotic called Systemic from Purina that I'm hoping to give you an update on later on how she's doing after she's had it for a little while. So enjoy this interview with Dr. Anna Dunaway.
All right. So I'm very excited to be speaking with Dr. Anna Dunaway from Purina today about a brand new product and also a testing kit that Purina has launched that, to be honest, I've learned a ton from trying this out myself on a horse in our barn that is really exploring the horse's gut microbiome and all of these pieces that connect to lots of different things and how it affects horses' health. So I'm very excited to have Anna on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to get out and spread the word about a really interesting new thing.
Absolutely. So I wonder, before we get into what Purina has created and now offers, I think we should probably start with the gut microbiome and just explaining what the heck that is, if that's okay with you.
Yeah. So a microbiome just means a community of bugs. So it's all of the microbes, like the bacteria, protozoa, viruses, fungi, et cetera, that live in a spot. So like the surface of your phone, sadly, has a microbiome, and the horse's hindgut has a microbiome. And we care a lot about specifically the gut microbiome of the horse because it impacts so much, not just how they digest their feed, but also we have now learned that, I don't know if you've heard this quote, that 90% of your immune system lives in your gut, and the gut microbiome just affects so much about your health and immunity and your horse's performance. So it goes beyond just, you know, digesting protein, fat, fiber, regular nutrition type stuff. It's really using nutrition more as a health tool moving forward. So it's kind of what we see as the next frontier in equine nutrition, just like it is in humans and pets and everything else.
Interesting. And so you touched on this a little bit, that understanding that microbiome is important for a number of things, for performance, but for general health. But as a horse owner, why do you think it's important for us to be educated on this?
Honestly, because it's what underlies a lot of why we feed horses the way we do. We, you know, all the rules about how you're supposed to manage horses, like plenty of good quality forage and keep things flowing through them and, you know, small frequent meals, all of that stuff is really meant to keep the bugs happy. All of why we do things the way we do in nutrition is because we want to feed the microbiome, and then the microbiome is what feeds the horse. So if there's more we can learn about how to keep that collection of bugs happier, and maybe that will help us avoid some of the issues that tend to be the most frustrating in terms of, you know, what we deal with our horses, then that's where we should be paying more and more attention as we learn more.
Interesting. So that leads me to the big question today is, what made Purina want to create, one, a new supplement that can help the microbiome, but two, what I think is the most interesting, because it's so personal and individualized, this new test kit that, for example, we have a young mare here in the farm who we just used as our science project. We took a sample from her manure and used this test kit from Purina, where we sent that manure off to be analyzed, and now we're waiting on the results. And can you tell me a little bit more about that and just why you guys thought this was an interesting thing to offer for Purina customers?
Yeah. Well, we are always looking at ways to make horses healthier and perform better through science. And the whole microbiome, probiotic world, we've been saying for a while now, kind of the marketing has outpaced the science out there in the world a lot for the last couple decades or so. So there's a lot of things out there and probiotics on the shelf that people are trying that to help them solve some issues that may or may not have good science behind them. But the knowledge base to create that science wasn't there. So we decided, okay, before we're even going to be able to come up with a probiotic that we think might do something useful, or before we can say, oh, I think we can actually change something about the horse, we had to figure out what was even normal. It was like back when, before they had sequenced the human genome, they had to do that first before they could start messing with it to try to help diseases. So it took several years and many thousands of samples being sent in from horse owners all across the country that were just sending in their horses sample for the good of moving science forward. So then we could figure out, okay, what's the generally, you know, commonly conserved like core microbiome across all healthy horses? What are the patterns that emerge when we look at thin horses versus obese horses and those who are young versus old or live inside versus outside or hay versus pasture? All these different questions that we asked to go along with the swab sample so we could start to identify patterns. And then once we started figuring out, okay, this is what's normal, this is what's normal for certain types of horses, then we got to a point where we could try to change some things and see what happened and look at whether we were doing anything useful for the horse or not, because there's a lot of, you know, ideas that might seem good on paper, but then, you know, a bug that seems promising in the lab, but then you feed it to a horse in a reasonable amount and nothing really happens. And so it took years of, you know, working through that process over and over to get to a point where we were like, okay, we can offer this microbiome sequencing service to horse owners so they can learn more about their horse and what's going on inside their hindgut. And then to go along with that, we have found one specific probiotic strain that has enough noticeable benefits in the things that horse owners care about that we felt like it was worth bringing to the table. So we can talk more specifics on systemic whenever, you know, we want to dive into that. But it's, we're really excited because we think we found something that can truly, you know, help some horses out there.
And that then, is, you know, that's fascinating. And that it sounds like it's been a long journey of looking at lots and lots of samples, but that's very cool. Is there something about the process that's really stood out to you personally that was like just something you didn't expect, or maybe it is this specific bug that you've identified that is pretty helpful?
Yeah. I think the thing that's been most interesting for me about the sequencing, the microbiome, is that we can actually pick up differences in horses that we know have different weird stuff going on. Like, for example, I have a mare that has multiple kind of immune related issues. You know, she's got allergies in the summer and she's really itchy and she has, you know, because of that, maybe she's a head shaker also, and she has a sarcoid popping on her ear right now. So her immune system is clearly not the best. And her microbiome came back not completely in the green. She, you know, whatever she has going on system-wide is reflected in her gut microbiome. And, you know, compared to horses that don't have those things going on, you know, we can see her shifts in different microbes could be part of the issue. We don't completely know what to do about all of that yet. And I'm not going to say that, oh, we can pinpoint a certain bug that we can change for her to help all that. But this is clearly like a stepping stone along kind of like real-time learning about, you know, we're kind of in the thick of it right now, learning about how the microbiome affects so much else going on with our horses. So I think that's been the most interesting finding for me. It's like, oh, wow, this does show you something interesting.
Yeah, wow. So we're waiting on the results for the mare I mentioned. Her name is Finley. She's a 4-year-old Irish sport horse who belongs to a good friend of mine. And we picked her in the barn because she's had a recent history of unexplained colics in varying degrees of severity, where she had one long overnight hospital stay that was pretty serious. But before that and after that, she's had several mild colics where it's clear that she has some gastric upset and can be managed at home. But we're having a hard time identifying what is the cause of this. They weren't able to identify that at the hospital, but we're working with a variety of vets to try to figure out if maybe she has some type of allergies or, but I'm curious to see what her results will say if, you know, like what the microbiome shows.
Yeah, there's so many of those kind of just on again, off again, not quite right, GI upset prone type horses out there that she's the perfect candidate to at least have a look at her microbiome and see if anything sticks out and, you know, see if there's something we can pick up that is odd about her. And it'll at least be interesting, if nothing else, to be able to look at her compared to other, you know, typical healthy horses that are managed the same way as her, have similar diets. How far off from them is she? And we definitely don't want to position this like it's a diagnostic test. I can't say, you know, based on her results, I'm diagnosing her with, you know, X exact cause of colitis or whatever. But it's more just, it's another piece of the puzzle to help maybe point you in the right direction of figuring out her issues. And skipping a little over to the probiotic strain that has come out of this research, she's the perfect candidate for that. So Systemic is the name of the supplement that we have launched just now this summer. And she's the type of horse that I would try that on because the way we know it acts systemically in the body, that's why it's called systemic, it has impacts on kind of system-wide inflammatory response, both to GI stress and exercise-induced, you know, athletic horse-type stress. So in our field trials, we actually saw horses that had some of those similar type of issues and the fecal water or the loose poop, just kind of some GI stress type issues, get some relief based on, you know, being on this very specific strain of Bacillus coagulans. And when we compare that to the real deep research we've done looking at the mode of action and how it works in the body, it all makes sense. Like we think it's helping them be more resilient against some of these stressors that they encounter, whether they've just got sensitive systems or it's exercise stress because they're hardworking performance horses that are running up and down to different shows every weekend. This Bacillus coagulans seems to be working kind of system-wide to help manage the effects of that.
She sounds like the perfect candidate for...
Yeah, she does.
Yeah. So she's working on it, and we're excited to see what we get from that. Going back to the microbiome kit testing, you know, I'm curious to know how, you know, obviously every microbiome, I imagine, is unique. But when you're looking at these results, how do they compare, like when you're looking at horses that maybe are from the same farm and are fed the same diet? Do you really see a lot of differences from horse to horse?
Mm-hmm. You will see differences definitely horse to horse. They're all very individualized. Now, you know, being managed similarly is one factor to create some similarities in their microbiome, but things that cause difference, we know that we can pick up differences due to body condition and workload and breed and things like that too. So there'll be some things that are the same just because they live in the same area. And then there'll be some things that are different because of, you know, maybe their individual metabolism or their breed type or something like that. If they're an easy keeping little pony that lives on the same farm as a hard keeping thoroughbred, you know, even if they're in the same amount of work, maybe their microbiome should look somewhat different.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So going back to Systemic now, the probiotic supplement, you know, when I think of gastric health from a, you know, just as someone who owns horses and competes them as a hobby, you think of the marketing that you see out there, which you've already mentioned, because there's a lot, and a lot of it is really geared toward this theme of performance. And I feel like it's shaped the culture around our sport about really being proactive by feeding X or Y to give yourself or give your horse that competitive edge and keep their stomachs happy. Do you feel like, well, one, is there truth to that? And Two, it does sound like this new strain you've identified is great for that kind of stress that some, you know, performance horses really can feel.
Yeah. I view this as one more piece of the puzzle. So if you've got a horse that's out, you know, working hard, and we don't expect anyone to want feel bad about riding their horse and putting them in the trailer and showing them or anything like that. But, you know, we are going to, you know, manage them in certain ways, and they're going to go out and live these lifestyles, and we're going to ask a lot of them. So we just need to do everything possible to support them. And that's, you know, having good vet care and keeping up with the body work and, you know, having adequate rest time and turnout and the diet right and all of those little things, and doing what we can to support their GI system along the way is just one more piece of the puzzle. So I think this is kind of another tool in the toolbox that, you know, when we know better, we can do better. So it's one more thing to help support, especially the horses we're asking the most out of.
Gotcha. No, that makes a lot of sense to me. So thinking about the probiotic, can you explain when you see on marketing that there is a live probiotic, is that the bug that you're talking about that live in our guts, adding a new bug to kind of balance that microbiome?
Yeah. Okay. There's a couple different things there to talk about. So the definition of a probiotic means that it is live and it's going to do something beneficial to whatever you're feeding it to. So the first hurdle is that it has to be alive. And we did a lot of work on different strains and then different strains of Bacillus specifically, and found that this bug that we are interested in survives the pelleting process, all the heat and pressure and moisture, and, you know, has to be shelf stable and has to live to the point to be fed to your horse. And then it has to live through the acidic environment in the stomach to even get back to the hindgut where the bulk of, you know, the microbiome is housed. So that is not the case for every product that's out there on the market. A lot of things are dead on arrival, dead in the canister, dead by the time they get back to the target area in the horse. So that's one main part of it. I will caveat that by saying there is some data out there on something called a postbiotic, meaning there are some bugs that can do some things when they're dead, but that's not a probiotic. So that's not what we're talking about here. And then it may not be that you're trying to pick out a bug that a specific horse was missing and that we're just going to feed it every day and insert it into their, you know, established community of bugs back there and expect it to set up shop because that's the bug your horse was missing, per se. It's really that we know that this bug does something interesting when it gets back there, and we're seeing the benefit of like how it metabolizes things and the byproducts of what it's doing back there. Not that your horse necessarily like should have Bacillus coagulans and they didn't, so now we're going to feed it to them and now they're going to be all better. It's more so we have realized that, oh, this Bacillus coagulans does something interesting, and it could be the output of that could be beneficial to your horse. So it's a really like fine distinction to draw there. Sure. But
that's fascinating to me because we do read and, you know, in marketing and labeling like live probiotic. And that's something I always wondered, like, how can I guarantee that what is in the package is actually alive?
And, you know, the supplement world, just like in the human supplement world, fraught with peril. You know, there's actually a journal article out there that looked at just checking labels across horse probiotics that are on the shelf. And it's like, A, do they have what they say they have in them? And B, are all the bugs' names even spelled correctly? And are the amounts what they say? And all of that. And the vast majority of them don't even, you know, cross those hurdles well. So we feel like there's an opportunity to bring something to horse owners that they can be more confident in, because we have done the work to prove that the bugs are alive and in the right amounts that we say they're needed to do something beneficial. And we can point you exactly to the research to say what it does when it gets back there, rather than just having to kind of blindly pick something out of the catalog or off the shelf and just feed it and hope maybe it'll do something because someone somewhere read that maybe it did something in pigs, for example.
Exactly. I got it. Yeah. And then the probiotic strain that is in the product, I think it's important. You said something earlier that I think is important for listeners to understand. It's not like your horse is deficient in something specific. We're just adding a new bug that can help with certain types of things, but it's not like it is replenishing something that your horse is missing.
Yeah, definitely. It's not that we did all these sequences and said, oh, all these horses are too low in their Bacillus coagulans numbers. Let's feed them some Bacillus coagulans and fix that. It's that we looked at tons and tons of different probiotic strains that are out there and looked at what has the best chance of doing something beneficial in the horse and like having an outcome that horse owners would notice and feel a benefit from. So it goes back to, we know that this specific Bacillus coagulans helps horses be more resilient to GI stress. And we actually saw improvements in, you know, fecal consistency during times of stress. And then we saw benefits for horses being more resilient to the impacts of exercise stress and recovery. So those are kind of two places that we know matter to horse owners, and that we can, you know, create more of a difference you can actually see.
Interesting. Yeah. And the process has been very cool as someone who's getting to go through it from the horse owner side of it, like collecting the sample, but then and shipping it off in the mail. But then there's a survey you take where Purina asks for more information about you and your horse. And then I can't wait to see the results, and we will share the Finley's results as soon as we get them. So you'll have to keep an eye out on heelsdownmag.com to find out what we find out. And after she's had a good couple months on the probiotic supplement. Anna, is there any other information you'd like to share that you think horse owners should know? And then also, where can our listeners go on the Purina website to find more information?
I think just my parting thoughts would be, you know, the service is something interesting to do if you've got kind of a tricky horse that you've just been wondering what's going on inside of them, or maybe you just want to get a baseline. Maybe nothing weird's going on with your horse and you just want, out of curiosity, want to see, okay, what is their normal? And then maybe if something changes in the future, if a couple of years down the line they do have some weird GI things going on, you know, it might be interesting to recheck them and see if anything's changed. So that's kind of how I see the service. And then again, the supplement, I'm just really excited to have something research backed to be able to recommend for so many of these cases where people have been struggling with these sensitive system type horses and have tried a whole lot of things with not a lot of luck. So I'm not saying it's going to fix all of them for sure, but I'm very optimistic that we're going to help a good proportion of the horses that we didn't have much else to point them to before. So we have a whole website dedicated to the microbiome quotient as an entire project. So you can learn more about the service and the kit and order the supplement online, all of that. It's at mq.purinamills.com.
Okay, so I have questions for both of you about your home lifestyles. So hear me out for a second.
Home lifestyles.
What you do at home, because you both have horses on the property where you live. And, you know, I've always, you know, as an adult amateur with a full-time job, I've always been a full-blooded person like my entire life from, you know, junior pony up until recently. And it was when I had two horses and one was self-care, I sort of started migrating that way. And now it's been a couple of years and I've never thought I would be a self-care person, but now I lease a barn with a friend and I really enjoy having that control over the management of the horses. But it's a lot of work and I have to be there every day, but I still get to go home where the horses are not in my backyard. But for the two of you, that's not true. And Ellie, like, I feel like you've had a ringer of a year, you know what I mean? For your own health, but horses' health. Like, how do you manage that? You know, like, how do you take time to yourself when you feel like you need a break? When you look outside, there's like still all this responsibility and I'm sure a laundry list of things that you feel like you need to get done.
Oh boy.
I'm dropping a big one on you. I hope you have your watermelon mojito.
Yeah, seriously. That's how I do it. I drink. No, but like, I think a big part of it is realizing what can wait and what can't. It's like, yeah, would it be nice if I swept the aisle? Does it need to be done right now? No, I'm going to go sit down, enjoy myself for like 30 minutes before I have to come out here and shovel stalls again. Okay. Or like, you know, like for us, it's a mainly a me thing. Matt's really great because I am not a morning person. So in the summer, he brings them in the morning before the bugs and all that jazz. But in terms of like during the day, that's all me. And then the night chores of putting them out in all the stalls, it's all me. So I think it's important just to be like, yeah, like, do I need to cobweb my barn? Yeah. Can it wait a couple more months? Yep. Like,
probably.
It's just like, realistically, what needs to be done right now, right? Horses need hay, horses need water, horses need clean stalls, horses need to go outside and have everything out there that they need. So like, I think it's just kind of staging it out where, okay, this needs to happen today. No ifs, ands, or buts. And this, that can be a next weekend thing. What I always tell Matt too, is I'm like, 10-year plan. So it's like, if I'm like, oh, you know, it'd be really nice to like refence this one section of our field so we could have a small like medical paddock. And I'm like, 10-year plan. Like, it's just like not on the list of things that need to happen. Cause we can't get away. Right. So yeah, it's just kind of taking a step back and being like, okay, what actually needs to happen, if that makes sense.
It feels very fair. What about just for you, Doug, like, it's not only the horses live in your backyard, and obviously you have this complex with clients, but it's work. So how do you, like, it's very important for me to be able to turn off work at the end of the day. So how do you guys handle that?
Yeah, so, I mean, we have an incredible group of people that work for us and help us. So, like, it is not just me or just Doug. And it's not just us, like, it is everybody. So it is great that like we're very organized, that every day we have a plan, like, you know, Doug and I are like, what's important? What needs to get done today? What do you need to get done today? You know, whether it's at the barn, in the house, with the kids, with everything, like, we have a plan. We ride first thing in the morning, whether it's winter or summer, like, it's first thing. And we try to knock it out. We teach us what lessons we need to do, everything. And so what we end up doing a lot is saying, okay, this is what's important today. And we try to get it done. And then we try to bust it out when we're home, because we're not home that often as well. We're on the road quite a bit.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So like, we try to get our projects done while we're at home, or try to get, you know, everything else done. And so I think one for us is it takes an entire village to help us and get it done. And 100%, you know, it's nice that like, it's been a lot for the last couple of weeks, but we've needed to be here for different medical things and everything else. And horses have taken full advantage of us being home for 3 weeks that we are having to do around the clock. I like look like a med ward right now between the cat and everything else, but it's nice. We can do that. And then we just make sure, you know, we get it done. And then for us, we try, okay, everybody says, do you take Mondays off? I'm like, what? Like, I'm gone from one horse show. I got a plan for the next one. Mondays do not work. We work every day that we're home, basically. And so what we do instead of taking Mondays off or whatever day off, we try to get away for 2 days of the month. And leave the farm and decompress like somewhere else, like leave, go see friends, go sit somewhere else by ourselves, like doesn't matter, but like actually leave and try to take advantage of it. So it doesn't happen every month, but we try to like, maybe even if it's 24 hours, like, but just leave. Because if we try to take like a true day off, we're a little bit like workaholics. We're like, oh my goodness, the grass really needs to be done. I really need to clean the house. I really need to do this. And you just start staring at it. And within, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, you realize your day off is turned into not even close to a day off. And you're like, I should have, you know, not even called this a day off. So we do a lot where we try to prioritize in that and then try to reward us by leaving so that we can actually walk away.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah. And that's my goal, like for Matt and I, is like to be able to, we have yet to find someone that I actually trust enough to take care of our animals.
Yeah.
And that's hard, like to not have that village and not be able to get away. Like when we have, you know, we go somewhere and we're like, oh man, we have to get home because we have to make sure that we have enough time to do stalls before we have to go to bed because we have to get up early. And it's just like, you know, it's very
a vicious
hard
cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can't unstress when you go somewhere and you're just thinking about all the crap that has to get done when you get home.
No, and that's what we really try to do is when we leave, we try to not, you know, we leave basically. Mm-hmm. And we're like, you know, it takes practice, but absolutely.
Well, so Jess, for you guys were in Aiken for a while and then obviously we're building your farm, but how did you decide where you wanted to land permanently? Because obviously that impacts your business decision and your clients and everything. How did you guys go about selecting that?
That was over 10 years ago now. And we were living in Jersey. Yeah. So we bought this property. We bought it 10 years ago in 2014. We bought this property, but we were living in Jersey. I'd lived mostly up and down the East Coast, different various places, had a very big business in Alabama, all of the above. And he was living in Jersey and we met, and then I moved up to Jersey and I loved Jersey, but I couldn't see myself live there year round. I don't know if I could have done the snow year round. I probably would have had to like shut down half the business for half the year or like do 6 months and live in Florida. And we didn't want that. And we didn't have the jumpers, and our business has evolved a lot in the last 15 years. So at the time we were looking at a map and I wanted to be by college just in case I needed to go work. I taught a lot of college kids and stuff when I was in Auburn. So that was kind of what I was familiar with. And mm-hmm. Doug wanted, you know, he's like, I want to be by a metropolitan area. So we were in Aiken for the winters at the time. And kind of were thinking that was going to be the plan. And Doug wasn't flying at this point or anything. And off a map in a 5-hour, I used to live 5 hours from Auburn to Tennessee. So I knew I could do that in a weekend. And I was like, eventually we want kids. We want all this. What can I drive within 5 hours from our house for the winter? When the kids, you know, these imaginary kids go to school. Funny enough, these kids are going to school now. So they're imaginary kids this many years ago. So we had a conversation about where we would want to be based. So the metropolitan areas within a 5-hour radius of Aiken are Atlanta, Charlotte, and Raleigh-Durham. We knew nothing about Raleigh-Durham. I wanted Atlanta. All my Auburn friends, like half of them lived in Atlanta. I was like, Atlanta? Doug's like, way too far south. And so it was mainly Charlotte and Raleigh. Well, we had known a lot of people tried the Charlotte area, kind of hit or miss, didn't know anybody that had tried Raleigh. So we moved to Raleigh and we thought, we moved to Apex, which is South Raleigh. And we thought we'd pull from Southern Pines. And we pulled no business from Southern Pines, but a lot from Durham and from Duke and all of that. So long story short, we were driving around. We had sold the Crown Talisman horse and we needed to buy property that year. And we found 30 acres North Durham and we bought it in 2014 and then started building. Doug thought we would be there back in Aiken for like 6 months. He thought the building process would take 6 months. I thought like a year, year and a half. We both were wrong. It took us 6.5, 7 years to build this because everything went wrong. And at the time, we didn't really have, like, we had clients in Aiken or whatever, but most of our clients lived elsewhere they were just supporting us. They were training horses, and we picked up lessons wherever we kind of lived. And so it didn't really matter where we lived at the time. And so then now we've been here in North Durham for 3 years, and we absolutely love it. Like, there's things to do that don't revolve around the horses. We can go to concerts or, you know, plays or anything. Like, we've, the kids have so much stuff to do. There's Life and Science Museum, so many camps. They've been having a ball up here. So long story short, we picked it off a map.
Wow. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Do you want to share your origin story, Ellie? I mean, for you, like, you had graduated college, you had a degree, both you and Matt had careers. What made you want to buy a farm on the side of a mountain in Pennsylvania?
Yeah. I was sick of paying board. That's actually, no, I mean, in all honesty, this sounds way less prepared than Jess's story. And that's okay, because that's realistic. That's what happened.
Yeah, it is life.
I was boarding my three horses at the time, Berkeley, Batman, and Q, at the same place that Matt had his horse, Nemo. And I didn't like the people who owned the barn. They, like, were changing my grain without telling me. And, like, there was just a lot of funky stuff going on. And there was bad juju at the barn. Like, Berkeley lost, like, 200 pounds in the span of, like, 2 months.
Oh, no.
He was just, like, paranoid. Like, I literally had to, like, bring Batman into the arena so I could ride Berkeley, because he Aww. Couldn't be left, or vice versa. I could not leave Berkeley in the stall. Like, he would rear up, and he would just, like, he was just riddled. Like, I had him on Gastroguard for the longest time, and he's a draft cross, right? He's chill. Like, nowhere bothers him, but he was just not happy. So that was kind of like, I was like, okay, Matt, well, I had reached out to other places. Obviously, it's hard enough to find board for two horses, let alone four horses at the same facility. No one had that kind of opening anywhere near there. Matt had a really good job and happy with his coworkers. I was working remotely, and I said, you know what? Screw it. So we looked at, I don't even think we ended up looking at the second farm. We didn't. There were two. One was in New York, and one was this one in Pennsylvania. They were the same listing price. The barn was bigger, the one in New York, but obviously I didn't need 20 stalls for four horses. And we ended up choosing this one mainly because the property tax for the one in New York was triple.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. We chose Pennsylvania because our property taxes are cheaper than for 30 acres than my mom pays for half an acre in Connecticut in the suburbs.
Nuts. Wow. That's why we had to leave Jersey. We were never going to afford a farm in Jersey, ever.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's it. And I was like, you know, Doug and I were talking. I was like, you can buy, like, so much more in the South. He's like, no way. I was like, yeah. Go to Alabama, you can buy a ton.
Exactly.
Like, shocked. Yeah. So, yeah, I hear ya.
Yeah, so that's why we did it. I was sick of, like, basically paying an entire mortgage in boarding. And I was like,
that's perfect.
So we actually did the math this weekend, and I end up spending, okay, medical expenses aside.
Yeah, well, you were getting those anyways.
Yeah, I spend $182 per horse a month.
A month?
Just
that's
on, like,
pretty good.
That's amazing.
Shoes.
Yeah, and not, like, including your labor. Yeah.
No, yeah.
She is the labor.
Yeah. That's also not including, like, doing all of our own hay and,
yeah,
like,
I mean, that's the biggest thing with you, guys. You get to do your hay and everything.
Yeah. And that's not including all the diesel that it takes to do the hay. But
yeah.
Like,
but still not. Yeah, it's still, that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, because we were paying, and super cheap, right? But this was back in, like, 2018. We were paying $450 a horse. So yeah. 450 times four, that's still, like, our mortgage payment, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why we did it.
So do you feel like it was worth it? Like, the trade-offs of board and, like, it was worth it for you?
I think it depends on the day.
That's great.
And that's just being, like, brutally honest, right? Because there is, something. And I think it depends on the type of boarding facility, right? Like the one that I grew up at, I never had to worry about my horses. Like there was like, I could go home and just like relax. Boarding at that facility, like my horse was a wreck. I was nervous all the time because I was like, my horse is like gonna hurt himself. He's just like, he's terrified here. He's dropping all this weight. Like it just wasn't a good fit. So I think that's, you know, plays a big part of it. But also there is something really nice about not having them to take care of them all the time. Yeah. But at the same time, and I'm sure you can, you know, lay claim to this too now, Justine, like there's something really great about being able to manage things the way you want to manage them and not having to like ask permission. It's like, no, it's actually going to be my way or the highway because I own this. Like,
I am, and
this
not,
is
yeah.
this is my highway.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Good for you, you know? You deserve that. As an adult amateur who has other responsibilities in life, I mean, there are pros and cons to both, right? Because I know a lot of adult amateurs, it's funny, it feels kind of discipline specific not to be that person. But like, I know a lot of adult amateurs who don't know what their horses eat. And there's probably a time in my life, or, you know, earlier in horses where I didn't think that would be weird. But now I think that's really bizarre, you know. But I'm just someone who is also a micromanager, type A. Like, I like to be very, like, I own the horse. I want to know. And I want to make those decisions. And I want to feel like I have, one, the knowledge base, and two, the authority to make those decisions. But there are a lot of people who put trust in the program, right? You know, and yep. they're in a professional program, and that's what they pay for, is for the professional with that wisdom to make those decisions. So there's no right or wrong answer here, but I do think it's, I forget that, you know, like I'll be out with friends or, you know what I mean? Or at horse shows, you meet people and you go, oh yeah, I forget that not everybody has a different way of managing horses and how they fit into their lives, right? And there, I think there's no right or wrong answer, no matter what people do. But, and I always
our clients would have no idea what their horses eat.
Exactly. And I feel like that is the norm for a lot of people. Yeah. But for me, I'm just like, well, what happens? You're the owner. Like what happens like in an,
they would call me and I would be exactly. the emergency. Like they would not, exactly. I would call and say, I've got the emergency under control. This is what's happening.
Like, you would handle it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause they wouldn't know how to handle the emergency. So I'd be handling the emergency.
And I feel like that's probably more common than people like me, you know?
Yeah.
But
nowadays, I think so.
But it's interesting. And
like
as someone
said,
who's
no
like,
right or wrong, it's just different. Yeah,
exactly. And as someone who's edged into the self-care, like, cause I'm like, well, the next step is buying the farm, husband. Like, I hope
he's like, this is a joke, right?
But there are days where I go back and forth because it is hard to, like, for my job, and I have very weird hours and sometimes have like speaking engagements and community events that we have. It can be really hard. Like, I'll share a picture in the Facebook group, but my reporter was moderating this panel with all the mayors in our area. It was a big event, so I had to be there to support my reporter. And it was a nightmare to get there on time. Like, I was cleaning magic cushion off my hands with like makeup
amazing.
Remover rags in my truck, and Alex came with me. It's like, I can't believe you're going like this. Like, he was stressed on my behalf, and I'm like,
he's embarrassed for you.
Like, this is life, you know. I'm like spritzing myself, and I forgot I had a muck tub full of horse manure in the back of the truck, and Alex was so we're like parking in downtown St. Pete in my truck with the manure. And Alex was like, he was horrified. Like, the color drained from his face. And, you know, like, cause he's a journalist too. So we get in there and it's like literally all the mayors, the CEO of his company, the, you know, the editor of my paper. And he made us wait at the end of the event. He made us wait in the lobby until all the people, like the important people.
So that you didn't claim that was your vehicle.
Yeah, so they didn't see what car we got into, and it was like, Alex, they all know it's mine. I'm the only one driving around with horse manure.
They didn't think anybody else showed up to this event with that. It was all.
But I was in a rush.
The sad part is,
The sad part is you've been saying like all the mares this whole time. And I thought you were talking about female horses. And I was like, what kind of freaking panel is this that you can't up with magic cushion on your hands? Like literally thinking as you guys are, I'm like, why is Alex so upset? You're going to a horse panel. And now I understand.
Nope. No, it was real newspaper job, real life job.
real life job that I mean, don't even know what mares are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what happens when, you know, you're like me and you work remotely. Like it's on all the time. Like the horse, like Matt's like, I really need you to like shower before you come to this thing so you don't smell like horse poop. I'm like, oh, okay.
I'll do my best. Yeah. So for me, I feel like there's no going back. Like, well, I would love to own a farm one day, but there are days where I'm like, man, my life would be so much easier if I had chosen a different hobby.
Matt just cut hay yesterday and he fluffed it up today, and I'm already regretting the decision. I regret it every summer, every time I have to stack so much freaking hay.
Until you pay the bill, then you don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, hay's still much cheaper. I bought some and it was only $4 a bale here.
Yeah,
so.
Which is unbelievable.
What? Holy cow.
Yeah.
Not ours. Like,
Matt, we should make
extra. I was going to say, I would like cut off my arm for hay.
Yeah. I think my mom's paying like $14 per small square
That's
bale.
Still cheap.
Just like,
holy
just,
cow.
Like, yeah, I don't even want to know what you pay, Justine.
I mean, so I've got a good source, but like I'm riding a new horse. I'll talk more about it and all that. And this girl's paying like $28 to $32 a bale for like O&A, and I'm like, this is nuts, man. Yeah, it's Florida's the worst for that. So all you people want to come to Florida, get ready to pay for it, because it's not cheap.
And that's why I chose Pennsylvania, because it's very cheap. Is your horse suffering from itchy, irritated skin? Don't let them be miserable any longer. Kinetic Vets EquiShield CKHC is a veterinarian-developed solution for bacterial and fungal dermatitis in horses. It's a powerful formula that combines three ingredients to fight bacteria, tackle fungus, and soothe inflamed skin. EquiShield KCHC comes in a convenient shampoo for full-body application, a salve for targeted relief, and a spray for on-the-go treatment. For widespread infections, simply apply the shampoo, let it sit, then rinse. Follow up with the salve or spray for extra relief. See the difference EquiShield CKHC can make in your horse's skin. Visit kineticvet.com or ask your veterinarian to order today. All right, guys, it's that time. It's Rosenthorn. Who wants to go first?
I can go first.
Okay.
Do it.
So I have been jumping a lot more, and so that has been a lot of fun, and I'm going to take my horse back to the horse show, so it's been fun. The kids have kind of gotten into a routine this summer, so that I've been able to do quite a bit more, and so, yeah, just excited to get back into the groove of it and showing more often and everything. So that's been kind of my rose. Then my thorn is all these horses. Like, it's one thing after the next. We talk Always. About why we do this. I am not sure some days, because I'm like, they are going to be the death of me. And then, so like, I've had the horses level. Had been a problem. The Star Witness horse, we're trying to get pregnant. She didn't take to the first one. So then I've like decided, like, we're going to breed her to Ozzy, the Europa horse, which is great. Mm-hmm. So then I've been taking her. So I've been driving back and forth to the vet clinic trying to get this horse pregnant. And then, which is all great. Fingers crossed she's pregnant, everything. And then I think the horses are going to be the death of me. Then the cat shows up. And we have two barn cats that have shown up. The Maine Coon is beautiful. And we've shaved her because she got in mats and everything. So she looks a little bit like a lion. And we're sitting on the porch, like, enjoying the night. And the cat looks, I look at the cat and I'm like, what is on her neck? Uh-oh. I was like, what is that? She had two puncture wounds that were far apart that still none of the vets know what happened to her. So I am like, oh my goodness. So I end up like on the phone with our vet and I'm like, what can I give her? I got to give her something. It's like, it wasn't pussing and smelling, but the next morning it did start smelling and it was pretty bad. I go through my dog's medication and I find one for wounds, abscesses, and dental infections. And it gives me, and it says for cats. So the vet's like, perfect. That's exactly what we need. So I start giving her this antibiotic. And then she comes out that day, that afternoon, and like has to like debry it, and like take it down like to this, like even more. And it's looking better, but now I have to feed the cat antibiotics every day. Like I look like, you know, I am a pharmacy basically. And I'm like taking care of all these horses. So that is definitely my thorn, is that these horses just one thing after the next keeps happening. And then the cat decided to like join in on the fun.
Is this your fancy fun cat?
Yes.
Yeah.
My really fancy fun cat.
I know. I love when you post pictures of this one.
She's so
cool.
Pretty. And so she walks up to me and I'm like, oh, what is that? But it's healing very nicely and she's going to be fine. And thankfully I had dog antibiotics, I think, from when Nolan had like a tooth infection, and that dog's since passed. So it's very lucky that I had those. But yeah, she's doing great. But I'm over administering medication and driving to the vet school to get Jen pregnant. I would like them to all calm down. They have truly taken advantage of the weeks that we have been home.
That's funny.
Who's going next?
Yeah, birthday girl.
Yeah.
I feel like our thorns pretty much match, Jess.
I feel like it.
Well, so I spent my birthday
driving to Cornell. The vet school.
Yeah, at Cornell with Flint. Because it's like a little over a month after his, joint flush surgery, and he was doing better. They were healed up, got the stitches out, but the swelling just wouldn't go away. And he was still walking like lame. But here's the weird part. He would be fine. Like, I mean, fine-ish, like serviceably sound walking if he had compression, like a standing bandage on. Okay. And so I'm talking to my vets and they're like, this is strange. Like, you know, this might just be something you just have to like, you know, put him out, keep him moving and just like not look at him for a while. And I was like, that doesn't work well for me. And like every vet was kind of telling me something different. And I'm just like, I don't know what else to do. So I took him back up to Cornell because I'm like, they're like, it could be cellulitis, could be something else. And I was like, this is not cellulitis. Like something else is wrong. And literally, I'm glad I did, because the day I decided to do that, one of his surgical ports that had healed over started leaking fluid. And I was like, oh, God, if this is infected again, like I can't afford another surgery. So I'm just like paranoid. So, yes, I called Justine on my way up and I was like, well, shoot me in the foot because I don't know what I was like, distract me.
I don't know what I'm walking in. Yeah, I don't know what I'm walking into.
Yeah. So it's not infected per se, but it's like the joint fluid is coming back fine, not infected. But I guess that doesn't mean that there isn't like a pocket of infection elsewhere because he's got synoviitis, which is just like a whole bunch of joint fluid inflammation. So literally that's what was leaking out of his leg. It's just there's so much joint inflammation that the joint fluid is just
it needs to go somewhere.
Yeah. So he's back in compression bandaging, like full medical wrap, and back on stall rest and on an antibiotic that cost me $400 for 10 days. So hopefully that will fix it. They said kind of at this point, there's nothing else we can really do. It's just kind of like
his
prognosis is good if these clinical signs resolve. If not, like he'll just never be comfortable. So I've been dealing with that. And like, that's just like the biggest thorn. He's going up on Friday. So fingers crossed and keep him in your thoughts here. And then of course I just right before this podcast got back from the vet with Brave and just spent another $700 on her. It's just like, she pinched
racking
a nerve.
Up the bills.
Yeah. She pinched a nerve in her back or something. So she like had like, they call it like swimmer's tail, and her tail was like limp.
Oh, yeah.
Oh
my goodness.
So, you know, it's never a dull day.
Never a dull day.
But my rose was, and this is great because we were just talking about this with the backyard barn shenanigans of like not being able to leave, was for my birthday. I did tell Justine, I was like, Matt told me that because he had like prepped something before I left for Cornell, because I had gotten my infusion in the morning, came back, loaded the horse, and then just immediately took him up to Cornell.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I literally walk into Cornell with like my hospital bracelet and like my arm wrapped up, and they're like, are you OK? And I just rip it off. I'm like, ignore this.
I'm not the problem. I need help with the other problem.
I know. But so Matt's like, you know, we're just going to celebrate your birthday another day because what I have is going to take all day. And I was like, what the actual
what
heck
does that mean?
I was like, ooh, but I was wrong.
She was like, is he going to propose? And I was like, nah, we argued last night. So definitely not. No, that's definitely not what's going to happen. But it actually was really relaxing. It was you guys are going to laugh at me. It was a Lego set. One of the, like, you know, the adult Legos, come on. But it was like a, so I collect typewriters, and it was a Lego set typewriter, but the typewriter actually like works. Like, I mean, not like we can't
That's
actually use
cool.
it. Yeah. But like, so I had to build like all of the insides, which was like a little stressful, but it was nice to like just sit there and like do something
that.
Together off our phones, not worrying about the horses, and just like actually just relaxing. So that was really nice. So I enjoyed that, and I'll post a picture of my my Lego typewriter.
That's so fun though.
Yeah, no, it was fun. So I've been getting them for my mom and stuff for, it's like just a nice like relaxation tool. So yeah, so that is my rose and my many thorns.
Goodness.
How about you, Justine?
I have the most awful thorn ever. So after the years of rehabbing Michael on the soft tissue injury, I move him to this beautiful new barn, and we're there for like a week, and he comes up lame, and it's the bad leg. It's the suspensory leg. So I'm like, it's over. It's over. Everything's over. Doom. I'm just like, let's light it all on fire. Everything's over. And so we do, you know, that the fun nerve block diagnostics, do the whole thing. Obviously, the vet came and I was like, immediately ultrasound the leg because I think that's what it is. And no, the ligament is intact. So then we're like, okay, well, why is he lame? I had been packing and soaking for an abscess, praying it would be something simple, but that's just not Michael's style. He fractured his coffin bone in that effing foot on all the words I want to say that I cannot, or else Glenn will yell at me. So after all this time, it is a very cruel joke that this damn horse has to go back on rest, but it's fairly minor in terms of a fracture. It's a wing fracture. When we x-rayed it, it already showed the fibrous healing. You know what I mean? It's just like a dumb thing. We don't know how he did it or when he did it, because it seems
it's already like, so it's been past like the 14 days that it would change and everything.
Yeah, like it. I'll send you the x-rays, Jess. Yeah, because it's like you can already see where it's filling in.
Changing. Oh my gosh.
So he's in, you know, a fun bar shoe with all these clips, and he's like 100% sound in that shoe. And I just, it makes me like, I just want to scream when I watch him run around and be sound in the field, where I'm just like, screw you, Michael.
That's awesome. Yeah. You're killing me, Mikey. Yeah.
So, this is another fairly, you know, it's another injury after a major one. So with the vet, I'm like, should he just be done? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like be realistic. Like it at this
like,
point,
like, what am I wasting my time? Yeah.
Right. Like, does he need to be done? And the vet's like, oh no, this is nothing. It's like breaking your finger. And the farrier was the same thing. Like, this is no big deal. Like he could go back to like any level of work. And I'm like, okay, but I just have to sit around for months.
I just
again.
Get to pay more money on him. Thanks.
Yeah. Just keep feeding him.
Sounds like amazing.
It only took 2 weeks for him to go like full feral again on me, where he's like a pain in the ass to like even handle on the ground. And I'm like, oh my God, like I worked so hard to bring this horse back. And so there were a lot of watermelon mojitos in my life recently. Or I was like, I'm just a damn idiot, guys. I'm
over this.
Like, this is like when you should like, this is like, I had like the doom and gloom thoughts of like, should I be done with horses for a while? Like, should I really try something else? And then, you know, luckily the good part of the horse world is like, it didn't, you know, I didn't tell a lot of people, but I told close friends, and the network of good people look out for me. And I found something nice to ride in the meantime, like a friend of a friend connection, woman I met who's similar in my age. She fell and broke her ankle while on a vacation and is like had surgeries, and the poor thing is like still in a boot. It reminds me of you, Jess, you know, like,
oh
she's,
my gosh,
but it's going to be a long time before she can ride. And she has a lovely warm blood that just needs to be worked. And
perfect.
So I was like, let's try this. And so far it's going great. He's very much my type of ride. He's a lovely, like, quality horse. So it's a treat for me to ride him.
Oh, that's nice.
And the owner's great. Very low key. Very like, she's like, let me know if you want to show him, you know? So I at least have a distraction until,
that's huge.
Cause no matter what, like whether Mikey actually goes back to work, I got to like fix the damn foot first and then decide like, do you be retired now or what?
Yeah.
You
know what are we doing?
So like, it's just back into a holding pattern until we decide. But Alex is very happy that I found something to ride that did not require me to buy
one. To spend something. Exactly.
Because seeing he was like, oh my God, she's going to buy another one.
Right.
It's starting all over again. No. So it is. It's the best case scenario where like I have something to ride that is very nice. And he's like a very sweet, goofy horse. Like I already have fallen in love with him. And you know what I mean? So he is mending my sad heart. And then I get to just stare at Fat Michael.
And scratch him summer. With pitchforks.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that this is the end of my bad luck. Like I feel like I've, you know,
had a string of it. It's got to quit. It's got to.
And I felt like I did the right thing, you know, like I've been holding out for him and I did all the hard shit myself. Like, you know what I mean? Like I would like come on universe, like give me a break, you know?
You figure so we'll out see. How to get one. You let me know.
I will let you know. Until then, keep calling me on the way to the vet, Ellie. And
right.
We'll cry to each other.
Exactly. Keep sending me just like profane text messages with x-rays.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So that's
horse
that.
Horses are ungrateful little beeps.
Yep.
Yeah. Because then that's they 100% just look at you like what? You know what I mean? And I'm just like, my whole, like all my sanity hinges on you, you big dumb animal that I love, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on. Mailbag. So this came up in the Facebook group recently. It'd be fun to share our own, like if you guys have like something that stuck with you over the years, what is something that you learned from like your absolute worst riding day ever, whether that was like your worst riding lesson or like your worst performance in a horse show that just like really sucked in the moment, but it's something that sticks in your brain and you've learned something from it.
Well, I think usually like when I suck it up or whatever else, I've done something to cause that. And so then it either like my drive is to like get better and all that, or like, you know, if I fall off because I did XYZ, then I make sure not to do that again. You know, like I think you take those times and you're like, okay, I really want to know why I messed up or why I wasn't good, and then try every day to, you know, get better at that trait. Or, you know, maybe you like pitch forward and you sit back, or it teaches you that I try to find when it's those moments that I'm not succeeding, why am I not succeeding? And then, you know, the other thing is just trying to stay in the mental game. That's another really hard thing, right? The mental aspect of like getting in and actually staying focused. And that just takes time and practice.
I think that's a good one. What about you, Ellie?
I'm trying to think because I've had so many bad ones.
You can't pin it down to one.
Yeah, seriously. But like one that I think I've learned the biggest lesson from was more of like a mental game thing. It was when I was in college. I had taken Berkeley to, and it was actually the first show Matt ever went with me to. So he's kind of scarred for life from this moment. but you know, to be fair, he's like, I will never do it again. he's like, never again will I go to an away show with you. He's like, day shows, you're different. I'm like, yeah, that's fair. But I had taken Berkeley up with my sister and her horse up to Vermont Summer Festival. And I was kind of like on a high. I had won a class out of like 65 horses. And it wasn't high. I think it was like just the 0.90s. It wasn't crazy, but I was like, I was feeling really good.
But you're feeling good about yourself. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I was like, that was freaking awesome. And like,
I'm rocking this.
Yeah, exactly. I felt really good, felt really confident. And the next day, I was going to go and do the meter. And I went in, and the very first jump was like a center line square oxer away from the in gate, which I didn't think anything of. But I did not have enough canter at all and cantered up to it, and Berkeley stopped. And I was so, right, I was so mad because I was like, gosh darn it, I knew better than this, right?
Yeah.
And and like so many people had like, you know, had come to like because obviously, right, this draft cross and the jumpers, right, is like interesting to people. And it was really frustrating because like all these people had come, like they'd seen me ride and they wanted to come see it. And I was like, I was feeling cocky, to be quite honest. Right. And I was excited. And Berkeley just like was like, no,
I'm going to humble you right now.
Exactly. It's like, I am not going to carry you over this. And like I circled, got more canter. The rest of the course, amazing, beautiful. He jumped me out of the tack many times. But I was just like, yep. And I came out of the class and Matt was like, that was good. I was like, did you not see the first jump? I just like, I was so nasty to him. But it's just like, you know what? Like, that's the thing. You can't ever be on top of that high because I saw something on Facebook the other day that I liked a lot. And it's like the moment you think like, you know, you know it all. That's when you realize how much crap you still have to learn, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a good message. That's a good one. And
what
I
about
think
you?
We've all been there. Oh, man. The one that comes to mind was when I made the switch from the hunters to eventing with Mikey, you know, and I had evented like a little bit at the lower levels when I was a junior, but not really, and have always been in a hunter jumper program. And then, a friend of mine got me into eventing with Mikey. And so it was my first USCA recognized horse trials with Mikey, and we're at Three Lakes. It's a beautiful venue. It's not open generally to the public. Like they do one schooling day and then they do their two horse trials for the year and that's it. So it felt like very cool to be there. But I had no idea what that I was doing. I had no idea. Like I showed up dressed for the part because I'm good at that. Like braided, had all the tack, and I looked good. But I remember being in the dressage warm up, and it was wild. Like horses rearing up, and I was at an event, you know. There were naughty horses, but then it was like. You know, Liz Holiday was in the warm-up. Buck Davidson was in the warm-up. And these are, like, people I knew from being in the media world. And I was like, this is nuts. Like, I just remember being, like, so shell-shocked by everything. But just taking it all in stride. Like, not having a lot of expectation for myself because I didn't know what the heck I was doing. You know what I mean? And I had never been that type of rider. And the hunters, I was, like, very serious and always ultra prepared, and then had very high expectations for myself. So then was like, always, growing up, I feel like I very rarely left horse shows feeling good about my performance. then that is such a silly way to live your life. So I don't know, like the eventing, it felt so fun because I didn't care because I was like, I'm not that serious about it. I'm just trying it out. And then I almost won. We were in second after dressage on like a 27 and he went clear in show jumping. And like, I didn't even know that you could follow along with your scores, you know, during the day, that like on event entries, like there's live updates on your scores until like I ran into somebody I knew while I was getting ready for cross country. And they're like, you know, you're winning, right? And I was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, how do you know that? And I, to this day, I wish that person didn't tell me that, because then I went into cross country like thinking about that, right? Where I was like, I'm just going to like lope along, you know, like the hunter on cross country. And we were doing novice, and I didn't have a watch, so I couldn't keep time, and I came in overtime because we were hunters doing the cross country at novice. And so I dropped to like third. But I was thrilled. I was thrilled. And I remember feeling so good about having no expectations, you know, about like just going in and having fun. And so that was like a lesson I tried to keep in my brain for all horse shows after that. Like, wasn't it fun when I felt like I didn't need to put that pressure on myself, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, we're paying money for this. It should be fun. Obviously, you should feel prepared enough that it is safe for you to do the level you're doing, blah, blah, blah. But like, it was such a big, it was a monumental shift for me personally at the time, because I had never approached horse shows in a relaxed manner before. So yeah. That is something I think about often, like even now, like even with doing mostly dressage these days, like the dressage horse shows can be very intense. Like the warm-ups, people are like really dialed in. And I try to remind myself, like, I'm just here to have fun, which can be hard to remember sometimes, but that was my lesson. I almost won, like, and I didn't even know, and I kind of wish I didn't, you know. But if you guys have a question that you would like for us to answer on the air, you can always send us an email at justine@heelsdownmedia.com, or you should really join our Facebook group. It's super fun. We have fun conversations there all the time. That's where I'm going to share my picture of my husband staring at Mikey's manure in the back of my truck. It's the Heelsdown Happy Hour podcast lounge. And if you want to hear more from us, check out heelsdownmag.com for the latest news. And you can follow us on social media at Heelsdown Happy Hour on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you love our show, please give us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and tell your friends about us. And we want to say thank you to our partners this week, Kinetic Vet and Purina. All right, guys. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.